So here we are on this last Sunday after Pentecost, the end of the liturgical year. Advent is next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent. It begins a new year in our liturgical cycle, and each year as we move through the cycle and come to these final days of the church's year, we have stories which talk about the end time, about what's going to happen when the end of the age comes and Jesus comes in glory to judge the living and the dead. And the readings in particular for the last couple of Sundays have given us examples of how we are to live in this time between the ascension of Jesus and the day of Pentecost and his return in final glory at the end of the age. These last weeks have told us how it is that we are to behave, how we are to live as followers of Jesus until that time that he returns. And that's true with today's gospel. It's from this 25th chapter of Matthew, which all talk about the end of the age and waiting and being faithful and watching and how to be followers of Jesus in this time. And so we have Jesus in his throne. He's come back in glory, surrounded by the angels, and he's separating out the sheep and the goats. Jesus is often seen as the great shepherd, and we heard images of God as shepherd in the first lesson from Ezekiel, and God appointing David as his great shepherd. Well, Jesus comes to us from the house of David and is the shepherd watching over us and calling us, but also judging us. And in that passage, Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. This week, as I prepared this sermon, I learned something I did not know, which is that first century shepherds often had mixed flocks, sheep and goats together, and the shepherd regularly had to separate them. They have different needs for care. But more than that, sheep had more economic value. They are the really valuable animals. So you want to separate those sheep and really take care of them. And so Jesus, in this parable, uses that image of separating the flock, but gives it new meaning, with the sheep being the righteous, the goats being the unrighteous. Jesus is warning his followers that in this time after he has ascended, before he comes back in glory, it can be difficult to remain faithful. It can be easy for arguments and divisions to arise between the followers of Jesus. Our faith can cool, our love for God become diluted, we can become less passionate about following Jesus, we can become weak and drift away. So Jesus is reminding us to be faithful, to hold on to his witness and example, his teaching, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be his people in the world until the end of time. And the people we're called to be are the ones who serve. For Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He came as the one who cares for all, teaching and healing and preaching, washing their feet as a servant, and even willingly going to the cross, giving his very life. And so our call is to be also servants of all, even those at the margins, those forgotten, those not seen by the culture. To be so full of that love of God that it wells up within us, that we too love others as God loves us. We're called to see with the eyes that God sees, so that we can see in all others beloved children of God, not the labels the world might apply, not how they don't fit in, but how they are loved, as you and I are loved by God. And loving especially those from whom we expect to gain nothing in return, loving just because they are, just because God loves them. Now, I'm fully aware in this gospel that this image of judgment at the end of the age and some being cast into outer darkness is not a popular one. It's not an easy one. It can cause fear and despair in us. It's also one that largely the progressive church has avoided. We focus on the inclusive love of God, God's hope of salvation for all. And that is all true. But the reality is salvation is offered freely by God, and we have to accept it. There are implications for our behavior and being the saved children of God. So while this parable is about that frightening image of final judgment, I think it also contains real hope for us. And there are several points that I want to just highlight that I think are cause for hope in the parable we have this morning. And the first is that the God of Jesus is not remote or dispassionate or disinterested. did not create the world and then walk away and say, good luck everyone, I hope it works out. But instead, the God of Jesus is here in the activities of the world, in its brokenness, in its messiness. God is right among us. And if you doubt it, or if you want to see the face of God, just look at the face of someone else, including the least and the forgotten. You will see the face of God, who is here in our neighbor, in the eyes of the hungry and the thirsty and the stranger, in the eyes of the sick and those imprisoned. God dwells within each of us, for we are created in God's very image. All of us, you, me, and the least. Secondly, I think these chapters of Matthew show the religious leaders at their worst. These final chapters show them trying to divide, trying to say who's in and who's out, show them refusing to see that God is at work, refusing to see who Jesus is. And sure enough, just in the next chapter begins the process of their arresting Jesus and killing him. Those religious leaders in Jesus' day do not behave in an unusual way, for the reality is that there's a way in which people of faith have of drawing lines and boundaries and deciding who's in and who's out. It has happened in all ages, in all traditions, even in our beloved Episcopal Church. But this parable teaches us that those boundaries do not apply in God. In this parable, judgment is not about believing the right thing. It's not about belonging to the right tradition. It's about serving the least. It's about being Jesus in loving service in the world. There are none of those divisions about who's worthy and who isn't based on those things we so often get caught up in and we see at work still in our world today. Third, I think that God is clear in this parable that God desires to redeem and to save us all. God wants to touch our hearts with God's love, to persuade us to love as God loves, to see and care as God does. And in doing so, God wants our hearts to be transformed, moved away from that ability we have to focus on ourselves, to become self-absorbed, to neglect those around us, to be people who are transformed, that we behave as God behaves, that we see as God sees, we love as God loves. And that will prepare our hearts for eternity. Finally, God's salvation comes at surprising times. I'm struck in this parable that when the king summons the righteous and says, look what you did, they say, when did we do that? When did we care for the least? It was in the ordinariness of everyday life, in daily living, that they found themselves doing that work of God and they didn't even realize it. They're surprised to hear that they are invited into the eternal kingdom. Just like the unrighteous are surprised to hear they neglected to do so, and they are not invited. Salvation can be discovered when we least expect it, and in the most ordinary of activities. So on this day, I hope and pray that we will allow God to fill our hearts, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to transform us into people who love evermore, who have that deep awareness of God's abundant love for us, that it can't help but overflow in our abundant love for one another. May we share that love with wild abandon, especially loving the least and the marginalized, those that we might want to turn away from. May we see in them especially the face of Jesus. As we are beloved children of God, so may we love all our brothers and sisters, serving them as Jesus did. And may our hearts be prepared by loving service for the promise of eternal life, so that when Jesus returns in glory, we, I pray, will hear said to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. Amen.
Amen.